time. That's right. Time for your daily dose of pickle juice on Elsie's Little Pickles.
Get your vinegar and get your brine.
So, it's been an interesting week, to say the least.
Say that. You can say that.
A couple days ago, I thought World War III was happening, and now I'm more concerned about the new Beetlejuice movie.
You're concerned about it?
I wouldn't say concerned. Excited about it. Excited about it.
Okay, that's a little better. I'm got a little chubby for the Beetlejuice.
First off, I was always a huge fan of Beetlejuice. When it first came out, I thought it was fantastic.
It's showtime.
I like, come for your daughter, Chuck. Ah!
I think it's ingenious to name this one Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, so they can do a third.
Right.
And name it Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
That actually does make sense. I don't know if I'm excited about it because I'm a huge, huge Michael Keaton fan. Always have been. Loved him in, seriously, I think I've loved Michael Keaton in damn near every movie or show that he's done.
There's no movie that he is not great in.
He's just phenomenal.
He disappeared for a while, and I don't understand why.
I think he kind of, after Batman, realized that the industry just wasn't responding to him after that. And I don't know if that happened because when they decided to get, after the second one with Danny DeVito as...
Batman Returns?
Yeah, Batman Returns with Danny DeVito as the Penguin. I don't know if it's because that... Well, first off, it had a darker tone, all right?
It did.
And the studio was a little bit upset with the overall... It still made a shit ton of money, but they were just a little... They didn't want it to have that darker tone. And then, what was the... I can't think of the director's name now off the top of my head.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, thank you. Who also did Beetlejuice. I believe that it was after Beetlejuice that he approached Michael Keaton to play Batman. And...
Which I remember when they announced Michael Keaton as Batman, I was on that...
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
I was in that canoe that was like, that's not gonna jive.
You know what, though? Like, I'm glad I had
that. I could see him as Bruce Wayne, but as the actual Batman. And then I saw the trailer and was like, oh.
He is Batman.
Oh. And then I saw the movie and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
And the thing of it is with that circumstance, and, you know, I could be wrong on this, but... If I'm not mistaken, the studio decided that they were pissed off at Tim Burton because while it still made a shit ton of money, it didn't do as well as the first one. They attributed that to him wanting to do the darker kind of thing with Batman Returns. So they let him go.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. The Dark Knight.
Yeah, they let him go, which I think
they wanted to go more comically.
And that didn't work out.
No, it did not. I mean, you had the Batman with the bat nipples on the suit.
Yeah, that was Clooney. But you had
Val Kilmer,
which I thought he did well.
Yeah, I was very excited.
I didn't like the movie.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah, I didn't like the movie, but I thought
he
was
good.
Great.
The writing in the movie, I'm sorry, Jim Carrey. I thought he was not a very good Riddler. I'm sorry.
It depends.
He lacked that dark aspect that the Riddler needs, whereas I think at the time they wanted also Robin Williams to play the Riddler. And
I don't
Robin
know
Williams
that,
can go to that dark place. So.
Yes, the thing is like I don't know if that would have been any better, because obviously we never got to see it, never will, but Robin Williams definitively has the ability to go dark, but I don't think that that's what the studios wanted. And
yeah,
I think that was their mistake. You know what I mean? Like, they could have really taken us down a dark path with the whole series. And they chose not to. And I mean, I get it, you know, bad choice, you know, whatever. But I think the biggest mistake was letting Burton go out of the franchise.
Yeah.
And like I said, ultimately, I don't care if we could go back to... you know, Gung Ho. We could go back to Mr. Mom. We could go back.
Gung-ho.
Oh, that was, they were great. You know, like that was something like you knew if you went and saw whether it was a summer type blockbuster or whether it was more of a, you know, a winter kind of, you know, December family type thing. You knew if you, if Michael Keaton was releasing a movie in our house, we were going to go see it. And I think it's because mom and dad loved Michael Keaton as much as us. But I will say
there is something that Michael Keaton does. I can't put my thumb on it, but it's very relatable. There's something relatable to the audience.
Yeah. He's like this every guy, but he's like not conventionally handsome, but in the first Batman, I thought that's probably the best he's ever looked. You know, I mean, how many times do you see that though? How many times do you see, and I don't care how good the actor themselves are, you know, there are just certain movies where that particular actor, that's their movie. That's the one where they will always look the best. Even if the movie's not the best, they, that character look amazing. And I think Batman was that for him.
Did you see his the movie about McDonald's?
Yes.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
He was great. Like literally everything, the one where he was the doctor with the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And this is why I say, like, I'm actually very, very excited about the fact that all these years later, they're going to revisit Beetlejuice. And
did you see The Flash?
Yes, I did. I liked Michael Keaton. I thought the story was shit, but I thought he was fucking amazing.
Yeah, the story. I also have a giant problem with Ezra Miller.
I didn't up until it kind of came out that he's Fruit Loops. Like when he was in Justice League originally, even the, you know, whether it doesn't matter whether you go the Joss Whedon cut or Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah.
Everything up until the Snyder cut. And then after we started finding out he's a fucking lunatic and maybe he just couldn't handle the pressure of that kind of fame. I don't know.
They should have just used Grant from the TV show.
Yeah, that dude. I mean, I don't know why they don't just pull. I mean, you've got a TV show where that has a huge following.
Yeah.
Right. Why not just pull him into the big leagues and put him in the movie?
Don't get it.
And that could have been as simple as, you know, scheduling. You know what I mean? Like it might have been an offer, but they were like, well, look.
Oh, darn. I have a scheduling conflict between the Flash TV show and the Flash movie.
Yeah.
They could have worked it out.
You would think, but you also don't want to, I would assume from like executive level, you don't want to potentially destroy a TV franchise that is just a cash cow for them. Very easy to produce, very easy storylines, very, you know, like everything just is a well-oiled machine. And now you're going to...
The WB has got a history of destroying themselves, TV show-wise. I mean, they just stuck the fork in the Superman and Lois, or Lois and Superman, the new one, which was very good, actually. They just have a history of, we're going to abandon this. I don't get it. I mean, DC movies outside of the, what was it? The Batman Begins, that series of Batman movies.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenally huge. Some of the best superhero movies. But outside of that, they don't have a plan.
I don't think DC has a plan in general. I think they keep trying. And I think actually recently, and I hate to say it because Marvel was doing such an amazing job for so long.
Because it was planned out. And, it was a group of guys that planned it all out.
They've dropped the ball on a few fucking things, man. They really have.
There's a couple of movies that I didn't care for. Actually, Thor, the second Thor movie with the Dark Elves, I thought was the weak one.
Oh, I thought Love and Thunder was the weak one. But they're doing They're doing Thor 5.
Yeah.
And hopefully they make up for whatever. Because, again, those are like really, really potentially entertaining movies, you know? Mm-hmm. But when you get into the Marvel Universe, you've got the Downey years, and then when Downey peaced out, snapped his fingers, and that was it. Kind of everything that's come after that has been a bit of a disappointment to me from Marvel. But you have a circumstance where it's like DC is chasing Marvel. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that, they're always a day late. They're always behind the eight ball. They never quite get it right. And then they have to restart a whole new universe. Do you know if they're doing another Robert Pattinson Batman? The Batman?
They're supposed to. They just gave a Penguin a movie based on the Penguin from the Batman.
Colin Farrell. Dude, talk about a guy who really woke up in the second half of his career.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Got his shit together.
Yeah, and again, phenomenal actor. He's I've seen him in a number of things. If I hadn't known that in the Batman, he was the Penguin. And even when I heard that, I'm like, how the fuck are they going to do that with him? He's too fucking good looking. Even on his ugly days, he's, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be somebody who is a huge Colin Farrell fan. He's just a good looking dude. And now you're going to make him the Penguin? That was a reach, but it was a reach that, boy, did Colin Farrell knock it out of the park. He was great in that. I'd be excited to see what he does with this next one.
Have you seen Gotham, the series?
No.
Watch it.
I've heard it's good.
It is incredible. Again, WB failing to run with a series. The bad guy, because it's all about the bad guys. There's no supernatural superhero fighting the crime, because Batman is a kid. Just James Gordon and the police department. It's incredible. Each person, you see the origin of these bad guys, these supervillains.
Which is what we're tuning into. You know what I mean?
Like, and it was phenomenal.
So like, I would have to check
see these
out.
Guys further in future movies as the villains for the future Batman.
Because you always hear, and I don't know if this kind of like started with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, but it I'm sure existed in different forms prior to that, is no matter what the movie is, the meat and potatoes that you want, the fun part is the bad guy.
Yeah.
You're not restricted by, you know, all the bullshit of the hero qualities that you need to have, you know. But again, you know, I just got to go back to Michael Keaton. Motherfucker. What a great actor. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I'm a little bit caught up on that. And I'm a little bit like overexcited over Beetlejuice.
With all of the changes in the Batman universe, another one, yeah, you know, George Clooney, obviously there's some jokes there.
He would tell you the jokes.
Yeah, yeah. And much to his credit. And then Justice League, where they're like, Ben Affleck is going to play the Batman. And it's just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Ben Affleck?
He nailed it.
And then
it.
You see it.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Holy shit. That dude gets a bonus because he was a fantastic Bruce Wayne / Batman.
I'll tell you what.
And phenomenal.
I'll tell you what. Obviously, for me, Keaton is number one as Batman, but I think that has more to do with the age I was when I saw it, and it just had a special place in my heart, and it was kind of like the beginning of these superhero movies. And don't get me wrong, I love Christian Bale as Batman, but I got to tell you, I don't know. I might be more of a Batflack.
Have you seen the supercuts where somebody went and took different scenes of modern Batman movies, and in place of Batman, the different Batmans, it's the 60s Batman.
You gotta love Adam West.
Adam West, it was really good. Like,
that was interesting too, because
he doesn't get enough credit.
He doesn't get enough credit. But if I'm not mistaken,
rest in peace.
Here's the difference between the way they used to do it and the way they do it now. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they do the Batman and Robin movie with the shark and the shark spray and the bat copter and all that bullshit, and then released afterwards? Like, that was like meant to get you interested to watch the TV show.
I don't know which came first.
We'll have to look that up. That's one of those fast. But let's put a pin in Batman for now, okay, and move on to something else. So it's one thing to say that I love Michael Keaton and I'm excited for Beetlejuice and I loved him as Batman and so on and so forth. I mean,
you love him so much. Why don't you marry him?
I might, but I wonder if I'm actually more interested in the Beetlejuice movie, the sequel, because of Jenna Ortega.
Well, if you love Jenna Ortega so much, why don't you marry her?
You know what? I just might. Good Lord, she's cute. Like, I don't know why, but I have a thing, I think, for that style of like dead-eyed brunettes, because I'm the same with Aubrey Plaza. I for some reason, Aubrey Plaza, I think, is just stunning. And I love the fact...
want her to step on you. You're what? One of those people like, you just want her to step on you. Or see her read those tweets where everybody's asking, just abuse me.
I don't know that I would do that, but she does have that vibe about her.
Liar.
Like, she does have that vibe, like, I'm going to put on high heels and I'm going to step on you. I think that the laziness of Hollywood is actually in a good spot right now, because they have gotten lazy by just recycling and rebooting and redoing a bunch of different franchises that existed in the past. I mean, they're doing a Fall Guy. Remember the Fall Guy?
Oh, I love that TV show.
I loved that TV show.
Old Seavers, baby.
Yeah, and I was a huge fan of the $6 Million Man prior to it. So the idea that, you know, then he went on and became the Fall Guy, I was like, that was must-see TV for me. And hopefully they do it well. So, but that's my point is like, even when you look at what they did with Wednesday as the limited series or whatever, which is where I first saw Jenna Ortega, I was like, good Lord.
Did you hear the new news of who's joined the cast for Wednesday season 2?
No, I didn't even know they were doing a season 2.
Steve Buscemi.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's playing?
Nobody knows, but he's in the cast.
Well, he could play anything. Buscemi's amazing. Again, he's one of those guys that you could put him in a serious role like Boardwalk, or you could put him in an Adam Sandler movie. Does not matter. He's going to bring it.
The guy that played the father in Wednesday, Gomez.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, his real name. Done a ton of movies.
Oh, he's a huge character actor.
Oh, gosh. It's killing me. I can't think of his name. You know, he lives in Vermont.
Does he?
Yeah. He won some award, some humanitarian award or something like that, and got like $1 million or something. Or $50,000, somewhere between $50,000 and $1 million. Mm-hmm. And he actually gave it all to the community to help with the flood relief.
Really?
Yeah, because he said this is his home. He wants to help his home.
You got it. That's Louis. I don't know if it's pronounced Louis or Louis. I think it's Louis Guzman.
Yeah, Louis Guzman.
Okay. Yeah.
He came to Vermont to film something, and he said he never wanted to leave. So he moved here.
Was
just completely blown away by the beauty of
Robert. Yeah, I was going to say, based on just the pictures that I've seen that you've sent me, I can understand that.
It's not just the scenery. I was just discussing this today. It is the mountains. It is the trees, the scenery,
the smell,
life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with all that nature, just the smell of nature.
Yeah. You go outside and you either smell pine trees or you smell campfire, and it's everywhere.
Those are two of my favorite things.
Like, you're just bombarded. I have the roof vent of the RV open just so I could smell.
Yeah, I don't know what I like more. I don't know what I like more, like the smell of, like, I shouldn't say pine trees, because I actually hate pine trees. So on my property, I've got one, and if it wasn't placed where it's placed, I probably would chop it down.
How dare you?
But it's placed in a position where it kind of gives cover to the front of the house. That was something that mom was nuts about, was that fucking big tree, that big pine tree. Yeah. And I think that kind of soured me on it. That and the fact that, you know, oh, she was ridiculous with it. I would offer just to trim it, right? Clearly dead branches. Clearly dead branches. Clearly needs the upkeep done. Don't do it. Don't do it. I need my privacy.
Don't kill the tree.
You'll kill the tree. Yeah, fucking yeah, don't fucking do it. I loved her, but she drove me nuts. All right, so what else is going on in the news? Anything?
Russian state TV wants Moscow to conquer 3 U.S. states, which would be California, Hawaii, and Alaska.
So it's just state TV calling for that.
Yes.
Which means that somebody in the Kremlin probably said, you know what we should do? Take over 3 states. What 3? Well, you got your largest land mass and most potential for minerals and resources in Alaska.
Yeah. Which people forget that Alaska to Russia, there's like what, 60 miles in between?
Yeah, it's a very
40 miles.
Yeah, it's not much. And that would be their first place they would try to take.
And there's actually little islands. I don't remember the names of them, but there's a big and a little. Little is in Alaska territory, the big is in Russian territory, and there's only like half a mile between them.
So you're saying is it wouldn't be a tough swim.
No, because in winter, when it all freezes over, you can actually walk from Russia to Alaska, technically. Oh.
All right.
So
look out, Alaska.
Those warm and fuzzy feelings.
Yeah, look out, Alaska. I can understand Alaska for what you just described, the distance and how close it is and all that. Also, like I said, I think that they're looking at it as a, you know, potential resources. But beyond that, when you get to California, that makes sense because it's what, the 7th largest economy in the world. So it would make sense that you would go from Alaska.
Smaller than Texas.
Is it? It is smaller than Texas, isn't it?
Yeah.
No,
Texas is the second largest state in the Union.
Which is the first? Alaska.
Alaska.
That's what I thought. But just in resources and economy, you got to go with California. Plus that.
The Texas economy is pretty freaking huge.
I'm not saying it's not.
No,
but
I hear you.
But what you get in as far as diversity in the economy in California, I mean, when you go from Northern California, what is, you know, what drives that versus what drives middle versus what drives, you know, lower middle versus what drives Southern, there's a lot of different, whether you're talking agriculture, manufacturing, entertainment, vineyards, the list literally goes on and on. So I get that. What I don't get, aside from going, I'd like to vacation there, is Hawaii. What benefit would that be strategically for them, do you think?
Well, we do have a base there, so it does have a strategic standpoint.
Yeah. So you think it's just the military aspect of it?
Probably.
I think it's the vacation, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that doesn't hurt.
I'm sure that doesn't hurt, yeah.
You could grow a lot of potatoes there in the volcanic ash.
It will be beautiful. Until then, I must break you.
I must break you.
I am Batman.
All right. People with a higher IQ and favorable genes for intelligence are more likely to be liberal, according to the University of Minnesota.
Is that a shock?
No.
I think the shock is that they didn't add also atheists in that.
That you could argue is a byproduct of that.
I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say based on our political leanings that when stories like that come out, and our religious leanings when stories like that come out, it's easy to say Well, yeah, okay, of course. But I do think that there is something to it. I think that when you're more liberal, you're less likely to care what other people do as long as it doesn't affect you. So there is that kind of ain't no, you know, that it's not none of my business as long as it you're not harming me, my or anyone unjustly. There seems to be with conservatives, there seems to be a desire to control, which is confusing because it's such a 360 from, and I would say this is probably true with both parties. They seem to have taken a little bit of a 360 from where they used to be. So Republicans used to be much more hawkish and willing to go to war. Now it seems like Democrats are more hawkish and willing to go to war. But in the social issue arena, it seems as if the people who were of the party of less government in your life want more government in your life. And that would go from everything from, you know, your sexuality, how you identify, abortion, you know, what kind of speech you use. It does seem like the Republicans are
there. Well, they went from being socially conservative as in wanting government and Big Brother to stay out of people's lives, and now they've snowballed into the Kool-Aid man of government. I want to break down the walls.
I think it's more than
somebody say gay.
Yeah, like Kool-Aid. Oh yeah.
No. Oh no. You can't say that.
And we've talked about this before, how they seem to be cannibalizing themselves. I mean, right now, Speaker Johnson is like potentially going to get called out, and they're going to go through the same bullshit of vacating.
Fox News has got a story here. Fox News that says Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot and she is trying to wreck the GOP. Really? You just realized.
Yeah, but what is the reason, do you think? Do you think that she's just... I have my thoughts. I think that not only is she a massive attention whore just looking for people, like she doesn't care if it's positive,
looking for Hunter's penis.
Yeah,
that's what she's looking for. She wants to hop on that hoagie.
the way she presented it, it was like, oh, is this,
you see these throbbing veins,
is this
look
the
at
menu
these throbbing veins.
Is this the menu that you are ordering off of? Because she was just like, I want everyone to see this cock. But I do think that she's an attention whore, and I don't think she cares if it's positive or negative reinforcement, so long as people are talking about her, so long as she's on the news, so long as the clips are going viral on social media. I think that that's really what she's about. And I also think that the Republican Party now has found themselves in a position where they are beholden, as like the last part of their base, they're beholden to these evangelical and kind of this Christian nationalist view.
Yes.
And that is not what the Republican Party ever was. I mean, were they religious? Yeah. Did they make the mistake of getting in bed with evangelicals during the Reagan administration? Yes. But it's really gone, like you can see the demise of a party like that. It's shocking, it's depressing, and hopefully they figure their shit out after this election. Like, if they lose in November, which I hate to say that I hope they do, but I hope they do because I don't think Christian nationalism is the best way to go for the country.
No, obviously not.
Forget Trump. You know what I mean? Like, you could have any candidate. They're pretty much running on Christian nationalism and Project 2025. So with those two things,
which is happening before our very eyes.
Yeah, like again, you go back and you think, "Oh my god, how did Hitler happen in Germany?" But even though there's no Hitler, and I'm not saying Trump's Hitler, I'm not saying anyone on the Republicans is Hitler. I'm not making that as, but you see this demise of logic
I think you directly see an influence that they are not acknowledging.
Which is the evangelical influence or the Christian nationalism?
The Christian nationalism influence onto the GOP, which they are readily acknowledging, but they're not acknowledging that the roots of that have got a direct historical significance to the SS in Germany at the time and what happened.
You're going to have to explain that a little bit more for me to follow on that one.
How do I say this without, there was a movement in the SS where it started out much like the Tea Party, much like the MAGA movement, where not everybody was on board with this, but they tried to force you to be on board with this.
Okay.
The underground movement that turned into something larger, a political party. And next thing you know, for the Christian nationals, the gays and the trans and the
CRT and
the book burning.
Yeah.
It's out of the playbook the SS.
Yeah. You're right about that. Okay. So now I'm on board as far as I get where you're going.
The gays, they were gays in Nazi Germany that they went after, but it's the Jews, which, look who were there attacking also, the Jews in the United States.
Yeah. See, again, it's one of those things where
there's a direct correlation.
And I wonder if they think that doing it that way is actually in the best interest of the country.
Well, obviously. Think of Charlottesville. What were they chanting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jews will not replace us. Well, you know what? You're in the wrong time period.
So I think that when it comes to and I've said this before, there is a definitive, you can draw a graph that shows the Republicans getting in bed with evangelicals under Reagan in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, you see the neocon movement with Newt Gingrich. And then you see the Tea Party. And then you see this continuous evolution of the Republican Party taking the loud voices and giving them a platform and bringing them into the party. The GOP has done this to themselves since 1980. And I think we're at a point where if you're in the GOP, you're kind of one of two, maybe three types of people. Okay. You're either, kind of like a Christian nationalist evangelical who sees this as the GOP as the opportunity for them to get, abortion banned, try to ban gay marriage, try to ban, all the things that they don't agree with on a religious level, trans, whatever.
For the record, I just want to also point out that you know who else was actually in Charlottesville that night that happened?
Who?
David Duke.
Oh, yeah, I did know that actually. And that's, I don't think that's any surprise to anyone. What I think has happened though is you've essentially boiled it down in the party. I see a lot of people saying, how is it possible that Joe Biden won? And I don't see any Joe Biden flags. I don't see any Joe Biden rallies. And somebody actually said this as a response, and I thought it was pretty spot on. They said, we're not in a cult. And then they showed all the flags for Mao, all the flags for Hitler, all the flags in the big rallies and all this. And they were like, look, that's not what we need. What we need is a competent leader. And we're not doing the same thing that you're doing. It doesn't mean that we don't support Biden or the Democrats. It just means that we see what you do and recognize that that's nothing but an opportunity for them to grift money out of your pocket for a flag or a hat or a shirt or whatever. And I think that that's where you're seeing the difference is because, like you said, smarter people, according to that, what was it, Minnesota State?
University of Minnesota.
So University of Minnesota says that people with higher IQs are more likely to be Democrats or liberal. Not Dennis,
liberal.
Just liberal, they say. But I think that there is a flea market mentality that has become the GOP. It's a concert. It's a show. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I got to get my souvenir. Like, you're going there, but you're going there knowing I'm going to look for the coolest souvenir, the one t-shirt, the one flag, the one hat that really says what I want to say to everyone who sees me when I wear this or fly this flag. And the idea of flying the flag of Trump, this person was like, that's historically, you can see it never ends well when flags are involved. And I thought that was a really good point. You know what I mean? The more merchandise you're selling, maybe the worse leader you might be. Not maybe with the best intention, but it never ends well when you have leaders that have a lot of flags.
How long until we see Donald Trump on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know, man.
His little arm dance, or as I call it,
I don't think
jerking two guys off.
He is jerking two guys off. I don't know that he would ever do something like that. But it's hard to say what's going to fucking happen, because right now the newest polls showing Trump edging over Biden in swing states. So it's hard to say, because I think that this Biden last week was ahead. This week, Trump pulls forward. I think it's going to be one of those like very narrow margins. I think that people who voted for Biden that were just like, I just don't want Trump, I think that those people will still probably be like, well, if I got to make a choice between these two, I'm going to go with Biden. I think that that's probably what's going to edge Biden out as the leader in it. But it's hard to fucking say, man. I mean, and there's so many things going wrong in the world. You know what I mean? Forget Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to get rid of Mike Johnson, which I think would be hysterical, because again, it would show that they are just inept at leading.
They're eating themselves.
They are. They're just eating themselves. So forget about that. I mean, there's so much going on in the world today, whether you're talking about Ukraine and Russia, whether you're talking about Israel and Hamas with the Gaza Strip, whether you're talking Israel just getting a little bit ahead of their skis and killing those Iranian, what were they, dignitaries or generals, or what was it?
It was a general.
It was a general. And then, like I said, last week.
Who planned the October 7th attack?
Okay. Well, that makes sense why they went after him. But last week, when all this was going on, I was like, okay, I guess this is World War III, because that was all you were hearing. And it wasn't just on social media. It was fucking newscasters going, is this potentially World War III? So for a day or two, I was kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And how, between these two idiots, who do I feel more comfortable behind the fucking nuclear codes, you know? And I,
you know what? I Biden took grief from the right because he said, just stop. And at the same time, I felt like he was the adult at the table telling the children, just stop.
What are you talking about? Iran and Israel?
Iran and Israel. I think that actually was needed. He also told Israel, we would not support you if you retaliate.
Which is, I think, the reason why we're not seeing it escalate. I think what he was trying to do is going, yeah, you know what? We're going to help you. You got your Iron Dome, but we're, you know, United States and, you know, United Kingdom are going to help make sure that this retaliation isn't much more than, you know, a dog shitting on your lawn, which is kind of seems to be what it turned out to be. It was more like Iran saying, okay, we can't let this go. We have to have some sort of retaliation. Otherwise, our citizenry is not going to have faith in us as leaders. And we're going to, because it was like announced ahead of time, like they kind of gave a heads up. Like I don't think that they honestly wanted to do it. I think they were like, ah, shit, now on top of everything else we got to do this. I don't think that they were really, I don't
we
think
are
they're
going to respond with missiles. And at about 12 a.m your time, and you will not see it coming within the next 4 hours. And we are going to bomb the hell out of them. Feel free to shoot them down.
Right. That's it. Exactly. And I can appreciate that. Like at first I was like, what the fuck is Iran doing? And then I was like, as I've seen this play out, that's why I like to let things settle. I don't think people do that anymore. It's always like, we're going to just react in the moment. But I found it interesting because of that. I found it interesting that they were like, you know, death is coming your way in form of our missiles. And then kind of whispered over to the United States, do you need the coordinates that we're going to be using here? We're going Roger Niner and altitude of... Yeah, it seemed like they were kind of showing their cards.
You know how many people were killed in the attack?
From Iran?
Yes.
I don't know. Were there any? I didn't hear.
Zero.
Okay, that's why I didn't hear, is because there were zero.
There were zero people killed. One person was hurt. Probably trying to get out of the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was more of a, my shoelaces were untied. Got it. I bumped my baby toe on the corner of the table.
One minor injury, they reported. The United States, the Royal Air Force of the UK, and France were involved in shooting them down, along with the IDAA.
Yeah, but they didn't give us like breakdowns on who shot down more, what got shot down more, by whom.
No, but...
Do we even know how many missiles were launched? Was it like 100 or something like that?
Missiles, I don't know. They apparently launched, they said hundreds, but it's about 300 drones. Only, I think they said six made it through. And, of course, we see that they didn't do anything, really.
Yeah.
But the attack, where the drones were being launched from and when it ended, was the intel for all of that came from Switzerland.
Wow.
Who was passing along information.
Switzerland, the country you forget about until you need a knife or a watch
or chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. They are good at all. Or a bank.
I guess they
actually do a lot more.
Chocolate knife.
They do a lot more than you give them credit for at first glance. So you got chocolate, knives, watches, banking.
The Swiss steaks. Does that count?
I don't think that counts. They're but we were talking at the thick of it.
In skiing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We were talking about Iran and all that going down and how that could potentially be. And again, this was based on what was being said on TV. This, you know what I mean? Like, I don't put a lot of stock in legacy media or cable news. But when all of those channels are all kind of spouting the same thing, you tend to perk your ears up and go, okay, well, they're all using the same verbiage and maybe this is something. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, well, who do I want handling that potentially? Who would you want between the two of them potentially stepping in to a world war that probably at that point would have already started? It may not be full blown.
Well, I also think that the immortal words spoken by Biden addressing Israel, which were, and, you know, Iran, so far away. Turns out he did get away. Sorry. I couldn't help it. A little flock of seagulls.
Oh, my God. All right. So I did. If you're going to do a bad joke, I'm doing a bad joke. Yeah, you got me on that one. You're going to do a bad joke, I'm going to do a bad joke. There's been this series that's going across YouTube, and it's basically three aliens telling bad dad jokes, right? Very well done. I don't know if they're just using all AI, but whatever they're doing to do what they're doing, I hope they keep doing it because it's hysterical to me. It's so bad. Like, the jokes are so bad. So this one was, I only know 25 letters in the alphabet. I don't know why.
You know, my wife got angry at me and she accused me of stealing her thesaurus, and I just got to say I was shocked and appalled and horrified by her accusation.
But like I said, these guys do these bad dad jokes and it's like as they're aliens. And I wonder if that actually is our best hope. I mean, we've heard stories of aliens supposedly shutting down nuclear missile sites and around the world, I'm assuming, but I know in the United States, we've heard all these stories about like weapons being just shut down by UAPs, systems not working in the vicinity of a UAP. Maybe that's really what we need, because at this point, I'm wondering, is there anyone adult enough not only to run the United States, but also to be like a true world dignitary leader. You know, I mean, it obviously you can't have just, oh, this one person, but for all these jobs, but there's got to be people out there that are like able to talk sense past all of this hyperbole and bullshit. We're at a position where like there are enough weapons to destroy the world. All we need is somebody losing their shit or not paying attention, which I could see Biden not paying attention, or trying to have, you know, the bravado and being an alpha male, which is totally Trump, and starting some shit that you can't.
Bozidon.
What's that?
Bozidon.
Oh, I heard him being called Don Snorleone. And what was the other one? The Nod Father.
The Nod Father. Trump in court just
dozing off. What do you think will happen with that case? I think he's going to get bit on the Stormy Daniels thing. Potentially.
I think he will, hopefully. I think he is getting himself into trouble by his posts on Truth Social. There has to come a time where he is held accountable for the bullshit he spews on Truth Social about the court cases with the gag order. Like, at what point in time, if it was anybody else, we'd be sitting in jail.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a little tired of this.
I think the reason they're letting him get away with it is because sometimes he accidentally tells the truth. So he was going off about how the account.
This is true.
I think that they're like, we're going to put a gag order on you, but it's going to be a very, very loose gag. And we're going to let you get away with a lot of it because we know by just putting you on the gag order, you're going to run to Truth Social. You're going to run to the cameras outside of the courtroom. And that's all admissible evidence. And yeah. I think just recently he came out, like yesterday, or it was either yesterday or today, he came out and the way he said something, and it was like, I put that in as a political campaign expense. And then he corrected himself and said, I think they put, meaning the accountants, put that in, like immediately corrected himself because I think he realized, oh, fuck, I just told on myself. Like that is something that could literally be pulled. Like, I don't think he thinks through that way when he's talking because he's trying to put on the act for the cameras and for his base. It will be. God, it's just one of those things where it's like, I swear to you, but I wish aliens would land because I am so tired of all this fucking weird news.
Do you know anybody at all that has been swayed over to Trump's side through all of this?
Personally, I don't. But
I don't either.
The people who were with him beforehand are even more with him.
Yeah, but still a smaller base.
Well, to hear it from them.
Well. You know, it's not like that side has got a history of exaggerating in size.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I honestly wish I did know, but I do know this. I'm so sick of Trump being in every news feed, every daily dose. So you figure from 2015 when he came down the escalator. Now we're going what, almost 10 years?
Also known as his descent into hell.
But we're going almost, we're coming up on 10 years where damn near every day he's one of the top headlines. And if he wins, we're looking at another 4 years of that. And if he loses, we're looking at another probably 10 years of it. Because he's not going to go away until he goes away. And I don't know that I can take it. That's why I say I almost wish aliens would land, whether they're nice or naughty. And it's got to be a better story than this shit. You know, it has to be.
You would think, or at least hope.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where it's going, but I'll tell you what, I'm very happy to hear that it seems to be settling down. in Iran versus Israel. Because again, I'm sorry, I can't take any more of the Trump news. I'm through with it. I'm tired of it. It's exhausting. It is entertaining, though, that his stock is still plummeting. you can get away with the grift only so long until like somebody who's actually a financial specialist looks at your grift.
I know we touched on the eclipse in a different episode, but I had a thought.
Okay.
If scientists can predict a total eclipse to the second, to the exact latitudes and longitudes, there's so much trust that folks traveled to exact places the scientists told us it would take, booking Airbnbs and hotels in advance. We're talking a year or two in advance. Why is there the attitude by so many of them to ignore, discredit, whatever you want to call it, the amount of distrust about scientists' predictions about climate change, though?
Again,
what?
Yeah, but these are the same people that'll tell you that that Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
So you can't, I don't think you can, with some people, I just don't think you can use logic. I don't think for some people, it just doesn't, they just believe what they believe. And that may be, you know, based on any number of things, but usually it seems like it's the modern day National Enquirer, which is social media. So they see things and they go down that rabbit hole. That rabbit hole is reinforced by the algorithm. They keep getting more of that shit. And there you go. It's a time of misinformation. Like it's a time of misinformation and news bites. So this literally just popped up. Carrie Lake tells her supporters to strap on a Glock to prepare for the election. Okay.
Oh, yeah, because that sounds perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, Arizona GOP Senate candidate Carrie Lake urged her supporters to strap on a Glock, a popular handgun, to prepare themselves for an intense election period ahead. The next 6 months is going to be intense, Lake said during a rally Sunday in Mojave County. We're going to strap on our seatbelts. We're going to put on our helmet or Carrie Lake baseball cap. Okay. She's got to get the commercial in merch. So she can sell the merch.
Yeah, sell the merch.
We are going to put on the armor of God and maybe strap on a Glock on the side of us just in case.
Just so that I know, is there a website or a brick and mortar store that I can buy this armor of God? I'm just curious.
It's armorofgod.com. Mm-hmm. It used to be a brick and mortar.
Let me go to that website.
It used to be a brick and mortar and then went out of business, went into, you know,
thanks Amazon.
Well, that was partially it. It was partially Amazon. It's kind of like Toys R Us. While the brick and mortar went away, somebody was smart enough to keep it online. So that I would go to.
Is there anybody else out there? I'm appealing to whoever listens to this. Is there a fear for you for going in person to vote, knowing that these people could be carrying weaponry?
Well, the good news is that I, at least for all the voting sites, the polling sites that are in schools, you're not allowed to bring a gun on property. What will be interesting to see, though, is how many of those people say, no, I'm executing my Second Amendment right, and I'm here to protect myself while I vote. I think that you might see that. I think you definitely, I don't think there's a might. I mean, if your politicians are encouraging it, so I'm not saying that you would see that in every state or in most states, but I would say that you're definitely going to see at least one or two Carrie Lake supporters show up at polling sites strapped and ready to roll. But what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to shoot the voting machine?
People.
Well, but how are you going to make the decision on who to shoot?
I don't think they'll care.
You think it'll just, you think that language like that will just rile people up to the point of just going apeshit?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a little bit more faith in people than that. Maybe wrongly so, but I do have a little bit more faith in people than that. Hopefully on that one, you're wrong. But I can see it. I hope I'm wrong. I could totally see it happening. But it's,
I just feel like the mentality on that side of the aisle is not exactly logical, rational.
I think a lot of things are going to, that happen between now and then are going to determine a lot of things that happen during the election, or the severity of how people are upset or not upset. And one of them will be whether or not Marjorie Taylor Greene does succeed in getting a vote to vacate Johnson. And not to go back to it, but I think it's important. If she does, the last time it was quite an embarrassment to the Republicans. It took way too long for them to get Johnson. But this time, what would be interesting is they're talking like, oh, we've already figured out who we're going to vote for. And it's not going to be somebody you like, Marge. Like, they're threatening her with somebody who, I forget the guy's name, but he's like very, very staunchly pro sending help and money to Ukraine, because he's looking at it logically. We can send money to Ukraine and weapons to Ukraine and let them fight that war on their grounds, or we can wait till to not do that and wait till it starts to get to the point where it's a NATO issue. Either way, it's better to just spend the money and send the weapons, because as soon as it becomes a NATO issue, all boots are on the ground, including United States. Now you got, with boots on the ground, potentially loss of lives of American soldiers. And
can we just have aliens come down, take us away?
Again, that's what I'm saying.
Just maybe not even take us away, just, you know, evaporate weaponry.
Well, maybe just, yeah, they could evaporate.
Replace the big guns with just giant dildos.
I would be happy if they just did some sort of dentistry program on the fucking Republicans. You know, just, you know, straighten their teeth a little bit and you know, maybe help them lose a little bit of
their
weight.
Their brains?
Yeah, maybe it'll help their brains. I don't know. I hate sounding like I'm just beating up Republicans. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It doesn't make me happy to do it, but what makes me even sadder is the fact of where they're at right now. When you've got, you know, it's like a circus, but it's being run by the monkey or the monkeys. And if they let Marjorie Taylor Greene off the leash, they will get what they deserve come, if not this election, the next.
I heard a Vermont voter who was a Republican talking about the state of affairs and how he was a staunch Republican until 2016. He still voted for Trump in 2016. Then during everything, he was like, no more. I am not liberal, but my party is pushing me into the liberal realm because where they are headed, I cannot follow. And it was very... He said it with such emotion that you kind of felt sorry for the guy.
That's the thing. Like, I, you know, obviously I'm in a large area that is Reagan Republican. Some of the conversations I hear are very, very similar. It's this almost a sad desperation for what the party used to be when they joined. And maybe they joined and they were big Tea Party people, and now they see it as like too much. Or maybe they were neocons and now they see it as too much. Or maybe they were just Reagan Republicans and see it as too much. I mean, you know, the 11th commandment is one that Reagan quoted, you know, and is absolutely out of the, it's not even in any of the Republicans' minds that maybe we should settle these things behind closed doors. Because really, at the end of the day, I think that what with every day being a Republican shit show, all they're doing is showing that they're not leaders. They don't know what they want. They can't figure out what they want. When they do figure out what they want and bring it to a vote, then they back out and say, no, we don't want that anymore. There's well, nothing being moved forward in the benefit of the country.
This guy mentioned how he fought in Vietnam. His oldest brother was in Korea. And everything that is being pushed now by the GOP, he was like, I feel betrayed by my own party.
Yeah,
this is everything we fought against.
Again, I understand that.
He's like, this is the biggest slap in the face. He's like, he actually said on the radio, if this were 30 years ago and this was being, the overall message was being broadcast in public, the person with a megaphone would be getting their ass beat by military personnel, by people. Yeah. And he's like, where's the line drawn? The line has been erased and people are believing things that go against our country, everything we stood for, they're calling for.
Well, you know, I think to kind of bring this all together, to bring it into a circle, if aliens don't land and get us into shape, I think we should ask Michael Keaton to run for president. And I want Iron Man Robert Downey Jr. to be the vice president. I want to bring those two universes together. I want to bring them, you know, we got DC on one side, you got Marvel on the other. They've always clashed a little bit, you know, like you had to be the DC fan or you had to be the Marvel fan. I say we bring the country together and have Michael Keaton as president and Robert Downey Jr. as VP. And with the only exception being if aliens take over the planet before then. And with that, that's it. That's all I got. I got nothing more. I just hope for I am Batman and I am Iron Man to run this country.
Get to the chopper!